across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, July 11th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if by chance you're listening instead through the app or watching us on social media or listening later by podcast, we thank you for taking us along on your day as well. I got a question for you to start off this Thursday morning. Would you like to win Brewers tickets for Saturday, for Saturday's game? Because we've got them and we're going to try to give them away today. So keep that in the back of your mind as we move through the next 2 hours here for the right opportunity to give away those tickets. And in fact, don't be surprised if that opportunity comes up sooner rather than later. Because as somebody who has to get up super early for an early morning show, I figure we should reward the other early birds out there. So those of you who are tuning in bright and early after 6 a.m., should get a chance to get in on this and beat all the late risers. You know, the early bird gets the Brewers tickets. That's the way that we should probably do that. So keep an ear out for our effort to do that at some point this morning. You can reach us by phone or by text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also use the Civic Media app, or you can put a message on social media, on Facebook or on YouTube. In fact, I think a couple of comments have come in already. Oh, well, one noting that today is Thursday. We're going to have our Women Win Wisconsin segment, and Representative Francesca Hong, noted by Tony here as a rock star, in his comment on YouTube. She will be joining us in our second hour, along with Kate and Nicole from Motherhood for Good. Representative Hong is a fearless progressive, not really known for mincing words when it comes about the importance of making sure to vote this November, and as we've learned, also this August, because of those constitutional referendum questions that will be on the ballot just over 1 month from now. We will talk to Joe Zepecki, of course, about some of this week's Wisconsin headlines, including recent court decisions regarding Act 10 and voter drop boxes for absentee ballots. And we'll probably get into what Eric Hovde recently had to say about young workers and health insurance, something along the lines of how they need to grow up. We'll get into that with Joe. We'll probably comment as well on the ongoing feeding frenzy of a feckless press corps and what I would call the prone to panic politicians who are helping the media put more emphasis on show business and less emphasis on the very real issues in this campaign, the threats to the economy, the threats to national security, the threats to democracy, and much more. So that and more ground to cover on this Thursday morning. We also have a Brewers matinee to talk about, a little day game action to preview in this final Brewers homestand before the All-Star break. 6 a.m. temperatures across Civic Media land look like this up here on Lake Wissota. It is 62 degrees right now. Hayward's at 56. Park Falls, 56. Wausau, 61. Green Bay, 63. La Crosse, 66. Wisconsin Rapids, 64. Oshkosh is at 68 degrees. Madison, 64. And it's 63 degrees in Waukesha. We're at the studios of WAUK, the Shaw. You find one Greg Bach preparing for another fun weekend at Milwaukee's Home for Comedy, The Laughing Tap. There's going to be a therapy session ahead of the Republican convention to tell us about. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing today, Pat?
I'm tired.
Yeah, me too.
I have loved, the 60th birthday party, of course, is long behind us, but both daughters came into town, one from Idaho, one from Michigan. The one has already headed home. The other heads home today with her crew because they wanted to stick around for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. So everybody was at the fair yesterday, had a great time on Todd Alba's show. So glad that he came up along with Trigvi Olsen to do the show live from the fair. And I'm going to miss them terribly as the family leaves. And it's just me and Sherry again for the first time in nearly a month because we had that Disney trip and then we had all the other things going on. And we're going to miss them.
Yeah.
But we're going to rest. we're going to clean. We're going to do a lot of laundry. And I'm gonna nap, man. I'm just going to nap.
I'm going to nap, man. Just going to put my head down.
Yeah. But yeah, I was noticing that you're going to be a little busy here ahead of the Republican convention. A little, what did you call it? A therapy session this coming Sunday?
So there's a comedian named Ben Palmer. He's actually quite big on TikTok now. I've been following him for a long time. But he's doing a tour. And it's called the RNC Therapy. And his thing is he will, okay, I'm going to explain this succinctly. He will go online and he'll go to a place, he'll go to like a Target's Facebook page and say Target puts out like, hey, we got Pride gear out. And people will, of course, be very upset in the comments. So he starts his own accounts that look exactly like that business and he'll start interacting with these trolls. He trolls the trolls.
Oh, nice.
And okay. So what he does is he brings it with him. He has screenshots and he has a projector. So it's a multimedia type event. So you're going to be watching him explain it and he'll do comedy and there'll be there's another guy, he's a journalist named Louis Truant. I don't know. But it's going to be a fun time. Yeah, it's on Sunday. Tickets are available. They are selling. So you want to go to laughingtap.com. They're $25. This is a special event, one night only, and 7 p.m. show, so it's a little bit earlier. But it's going to be a lot of fun. And then we have our Friday and Saturday shows as well, and it's going to be a good time.
Well, good. I'm glad to see things that are still happening downtown. I understand, and I think Joe's going to explain this coming up. You know, the security perimeter is going up. You know, parts of downtown starting to look like a fortress, and so we're gonna need some fun where we can get it, especially around the Milwaukee area.
Yeah.
And especially as well, we're gonna need some levity, because I've got to ask Joe whether we've talked about the fake moderation that's going on out there, like, oh, we don't really want an abortion ban, but we really want an abortion ban. Yeah. You know, that kind of fake moderation. Or now, sensing that President Biden is in a weakened position, are they just going to rip the mask off and just go full-blown mega extreme and you know, scream from the podium, well, of course we want, you know, a national abortion ban. Of course we want, you know, billionaires to not pay any more taxes. You know, how crazy are they going to get? And in either case, we're going to need some lighter moments next week.
I think
it could be a little on the dark side.
Yeah.
So here's hoping that folks who are doing things outside of downtown Milwaukee can still get around. I'm sure traffic's not going to be any fun and things like that. So let's try to make the most of the situation that we're going to have there next week. I have to tell one story from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair involving my oldest grandson, Mason, who's 17, about to turn 18, heading into his senior year of high school.
How does that feel?
It feels really old, I'm telling you. It's just, I'm proud of the kid. Sweet kid, sweet and smart and all that. And when he started high school, he found a new addiction, weightlifting. He took a weight training class, and he was a skinny kid, not scrawny or anything, but just, you know, a normal kid.
Yeah.
And then he discovered this weightlifting class, and this kid is jacked now. I mean, he is just, I mean, I'm proud of him. I really am. And he does, you know, he's not in any sports or anything. He's got a pull-up bar in his bedroom. And every time we go visit him, you know, he's just showing us how many he can do and all that. Well, anyway, we're going through the carnival games at the fair. And there's one there that basically is just a pull-up bar. And all you have to do is hang from it
I've seen
for 100 seconds.
Yeah.
100 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not making it 100 seconds. You know, most people aren't making it 100 seconds. This kid not only gets up there, but occasionally lets go of one hand to kind of shake out the other arm. And then he'll hold it and he'll shake out the other arm. And when they get down to, as we're counting down to the end of the 100 seconds, what does he do? He does a couple of pull-ups on the bar as well, gets down and gets this great big stuffed animal. And so he got that. And so I'm walking it back to the car through the fairgrounds, and people are looking at me like, you know, and I'm just shaking my head going, no, not me.
I got this for you, Grandpa.
Yeah. Well, I came home first to prep for this morning's show. And then, you know, the rest of the crew came back a little bit afterwards. And he's also got like some other prize. He's got a T-shirt because in both the case of the Army and the Marine exhibits there, the recruiters that are there,
yeah,
one or both of them had pull-up bars as well. And I mean, I've got the business card from one of the recruiters. They're like, hey, kid, you know, call me.
Yeah.
You know, we'd love to get you in. So we had that discussion yesterday about, you know, the armed services and college and trades and all the other things that are out there. But yeah, if you go to the fair and you've done your share of, you know, lifting weights and pull-ups and things, you can get some prizes and T-shirts and everything. You can clean up real nice. Or you can be like me and just shoot a water gun at a target and watch the little thing go up. And I was sure that I had beaten Alba. I was sure of that. I thought my the little post thing was rising, and Alba's got there first by just a hair, just a fraction of a second. And Todd Alba has stolen my crown as king of the water gun carnival races.
Well, so I was expecting, when I heard feat of strength, I was expecting like a tug of war, or maybe, you know, like jousting, or
no, it's this trigger finger right here.
There you go. Your Second Amendment right to fill up a water balloon. There you go.
And poor Trigvy, he claimed his target was malfunctioning, but you know.
Oh, I see. So he was saying, you know, it was rigged.
I'm just saying, yeah. What can I say? But I'm not gonna, you know, criticize the guy. He came all the way out here. He flew out to be a part of this, and now they are in River Falls. Todd's show is in River Falls, Trigvy's hometown.
Oh,
and cool. Trigvy will be talking about his work with the Lincoln Project and much more. So a very fun show coming up from Mr. Alba, coming up at noon today. 6:18 would normally talk about sports right before the break. I'm gonna talk about it afterwards, and then I think we're going to give away some Brewers tickets right away.
I like that idea.
Because you, the early risers, deserve that. We're going to talk more about this and more right after I tell you, as I always do at this time, that wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, I don't care where it is, wherever, down in Beloit, down in Kenosha, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlaw. Jeff Hanna of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band turns 77 years old today. Here was the Dirt Band, a little duet with Linda Ronstadt from back in the day.
I beg your pardon, Mama, what did you say? My mind was drifting off on Martinique Bay. It's not that I'm not interested.
This sounds like it could be very much in yacht rock world.
It does, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's got a countrified yacht rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have some of that tomorrow to pass along, and more in today's history lesson coming up in about 30 minutes or so. All right, I know what you're thinking. He's going to give away Brewers tickets. Geez, is he going to ask a trivia question? Is it going to be, you know, Brewers trivia? Is it going to be Wisconsin trivia? Do I have to, you know, is there math involved in this thing? None of the above. I'm going to do that thing that management says, you know, you shouldn't do that. You should make it more enticing, you know, and not just say, hey, call in and get them. It's 6:21 in the morning. Call in and get them. 855-75-CIVIC. It's 6 tickets to Saturday's game. And if you can't use all 6, tell Greg when you call in. Say, no, I'd like 2. I'd like 4. And we'll give the others away to somebody else. It's that simple. 855-75-CIVIC. Oh, there's probably some rules to go along with this as well, Greg. like you haven't won anything this calendar month yet.
Yeah.
The tickets have to be emailed to you.
Yes.
We're
going to get your name, your phone number, and your email so we can email them to you. And then if you don't get them, we can contact you just to make sure. I'm really glad that there was – I'm glad there was no math involved, Pat, because
it was my understanding that there would be no math.
So I just
That, wasn't that Chevy Chase as Gerald Ford in the debates, an old Saturday Night Live bit?
I just like, he doesn't look like him. He doesn't sound like him. We're not going to put makeup on him.
No.
Just, you are Gerald Ford.
Yes. Pure comedy. Yes. Just here, on stage, improv, you're Gerald Ford. And yeah, there was no math. And I believe that that was inspired by my completely messing up Jack White's age earlier this week, that he is 49, not 59.
We tried to give away Brewers tickets where I just asked who the mascots were, and people were like, nah, I'm okay. I'm fine.
That's right. So that's what we've got going here. We're going to open up the phone lines right now, 855-75-CIVIC, for the Brewers game against the Washington Nationals. Up to 6 tickets available for Saturday's game. First pitch is at 3:10, and this is the last series before the All-Star break. And again, if nobody's interested during this segment, we'll maybe try a little bit later. We've got tomorrow as well to work on it. And if that doesn't work, then we pass them along to Jane Matinere or...
then we burn them.
Or Todd Alba. Then we burn them. But this is your opportunity right now. Go ahead and think in your head. Let's see. Can I shift some plans around? Can I take a buddy? Am I free? We're just going to leave it at that. So the phone lines are going to stay open until somebody calls in and says that they would like... 1 to 6 tickets for the Brewers game against the Washington Nationals this weekend, Saturday. First pitch is at 3:10. So while we wait to see if anybody would like to be part of that winning, let me tell you a bit about what the Brewers did last night. You'll recall that night before last, they opened up a series with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and things didn't go well. Pittsburgh just feasted on Brewers pitching. Well, we had a bit of a role reversal for the Brewers and Pirates last night. Tobias Myers pitched 8 scoreless innings. Reese Hoskins and Willie Adames hit home runs, and Milwaukee cruised past Pittsburgh 9-0 last night. Tobias Myers is a rookie right-hander. This was only, I think, his 13th start overall for the Brewers, but it's already the second time this season that he's gone 8 innings without allowing a run. He gave up just 4 hits, just 1 walk in those 8 innings, and he struck out 6 on 103 pitches. This is what we're looking to see from this point forward from the pitchers that have just been decimated. Let me look at this. We're going to get down with the Brewers thing here, but Bud in Janesville sends in on the text line. Hi, Pat and Greg. I'm taking my 85-year-old mom to today's game. We have our own tickets. But if any of your seats are open, did I mention I love your show? Well, that would be this afternoon.
Yeah.
This afternoon's, I don't think.
No.
I'm guessing those are spoken for.
Yeah. No.
But I got the note here, Bud. So I mean, I'll ask. But I would assume your mom's gonna love that your whatever seats you get,
you know,
are gonna be perfect.
Bud, do us a favor. Take a picture of you and your mom at the game today, selfie, whatever you want to do it, and send it to us.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to see. Like, that's the one thing too, is whether you win tickets with us or not. If you're going to the game, let us know. And tennis, I love seeing our listeners at the game because they're always having such a good time, and it's you're part of the family.
Yes, we'd like that. And hey, you know, come get the Saturday tickets as well. That's always an option too. And as for this afternoon's game, Pittsburgh pitching phenom Paul Skeens, the first rookie pitcher to represent the Pirates in the All-Star game, takes on the Brewers. The Brewers recently acquired pitcher Aaron Civale in a 1:10 matinee before the Pirates leave town, and the Brewers welcome in the Washington Nationals for a weekend series, all before next week's All-Star break. You can catch the pregame today at 12:35 on News from the Center, WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine and Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country, WCQM, in Park Falls, as your first place Milwaukee Brewers have a game this afternoon. Let's see. Tony writes from up in Ashland, where he says, it's a little nippy, no fog. I've always thought rookie pitchers have good rookie years and drop off a bit the second because the scouting report on them is thin as a rookie. Well, true. I mean, you get that sophomore jinx, yeah, you know, as people figure out what you can do. But, you know, there's always the chance that pitchers can make adjustments the same way that batters do.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're looking to see from, you know, Tobias Myers and the others. We had, oh my goodness, we had another pitcher, DL Hall, was making a rehab assignment. You know, he's been injured for a big chunk of the season, was making a rehab pitching assignment in Nashville night before last and got drilled in the left arm by a batted ball.
Ow.
So that's been set back a little bit. But
can I just say something real super fast?
Yeah.
Pat Murphy, what a gent. What an amazing man. Did you hear what he did for the team?
No, tell me.
Oh, so after the 12-2 loss to the Pirates, he had t-shirts made for the entire team yesterday that had the word Undaunted in Brewers font, gave them all the t-shirts, and then had the word and then underneath the exact definition from the dictionary, and was, because he said in an interview that, you know, we haven't had a game like this and it's tough and we have to make changes and whatnot. But he's like, he wants to inspire that team. So he made these t-shirts, gave them to him. And I'm just like, do the Brewers have their own Ted Lasso? I mean, do we just have to believe? Because it felt so good. He's so great.
He is. I know. I see some nicknames are already flying around, like Murphy's Maulers or Murphy's Mashers or something like that. So something's going to stick if this keeps up here.
Yeah.
I did see out of the corner of my eye, I did see somebody wearing the Undaunted uniform kind of in Brewer script there. And I didn't know the story behind it. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. Like I said, our own Ted Lasso. I like the way you're saying that.
Yeah.
Again, tickets are still available for Saturday's game, 855-75-CIVIC. When we come back, we're going to visit with Joe Zepecki and talk about some of the headlines around Wisconsin, especially in politics this week. That's after Pam Yonke's Midwest Farm Report next. You're up north. Joe Zepecki joins us now, which means it's Thursday morning and time to talk a little bit about what's been happening in Wisconsin headlines. The big headlines, of course, will be next week from the Republican National Convention. Joe, how you doing?
I'm okay. I didn't tell you this before we started rolling. I am fresh from, on Wednesday, my first trip down to downtown Milwaukee since the security fencing started going up. Downtown Milwaukee, heart of the city, has been transformed. Ahead of the convention, it already feels like an armed encampment. It's eerily evocative of January 6th and the couple of weeks between January 6th and the inauguration of President Biden. I'm not sure that's going to give the look that Republicans wanted.
That's not the vibe. Well, but that really does get me to the whole notion of, is this, in fact, the vibe that some people want? The people who want to have, you know, millions of people rounded up and put in detention camps and things like that. So I was going to ask if you're excited about the convention, but we'll get to that in a minute. Just based on the scene you're setting there, I have to ask, do you think that next week's convention will feature a lot of attempts at moderation to say, oh, things aren't as bad as those mean old Democrats say, or should we expect more unapologetic extremism that Trump is the light and the way and the truth?
Any chance that they were going to try to put a more moderate foot forward has gone out the window, given the ongoing political challenges facing President Joe Biden, because Republicans are absolutely giddy. They are beside themselves with glee and think they have this thing in the bag. And so what they are not going to be able to help themselves. They are going to show the world who they are because they think they've already won. We've heard this term in presidential politics for time immemorial. They're not just measuring the drapes, man. They are moving from the 900-page Project 2025 plan into an implementation action plan as we speak, because they think this thing's in the bag.
Why, Joe? We both know, again, forgive the cliche, there's an eternity until November. What makes anybody think they can be, either giddy or completely tragic about anything.
They're high on their own supply. They don't remember that in October of 2016, Reince Priebus told Donald Trump in the wake of the Access Hollywood tape where he bragged about grabbing women by the genitals against their will and saying, it's fine, when you're a star, they let you do it. He was told by Reince Priebus, the chair of the RNC, that Donald Trump, you can step aside and let Mike Pence be the candidate, or you can suffer the greatest electoral landslide defeat in Republican presidential history. We all know how that story ended. Mm-hmm. So, but Republicans and the MAGA wing are high on their own supply. Donald Trump has been golfing for 12 straight days. There's just no way they're going to be able to keep a lid on him next week. And when you look at the speaker lineup that is being rolled out, no Nikki Haley, no sort of up-and-comers from Congress. It's going to be a murderer's row of MAGA Republicans all bending the knee to King Donald. And I think it's going to be in the interest of the American electorate to see that on full display. So let it rip, gang.
Not a Republican convention, a Trump convention.
Yeah. MAGA Trump Republican convention.
All about that. Let's pick up on a point that I made yesterday. And again, saying that I'm not telling people not to protest. I'm not telling people not to march. But you've now seen the security perimeter. You know that there's a security plan out there. You know that a judge on Monday said, no, protesters, here's where you're going to be, or Tuesday rather, said, no, here's where you're going to be protesting, and that's that, and it's going to be five blocks away. And others say, oh, hell no, we're going to get as close to FISA reform as we can. Look, I've talked about, you know, the things that you can control, and don't open yourself up to, you know, having events, you know, take over your narrative. But what are your own thoughts on people who genuinely want to protest to make their voices against Trump and Republicans known, you know, cautioned with whatever instigators might be out there?
I'm of a couple minds on this, and I know that doesn't offer a lot of clarity. But listen, there's nothing more American than protest. The revolutionary fervor that swept America in the late 1700s, we all know the story, was best embodied by throwing tea in the harbor.
Right.
Right. That's an act of protest. And as I said at the start of this segment, let's get out of their way next week. Let's let the American people hear directly from MAGA Republicans what their plans are, because their plans are deeply unpopular. If you look into Project 2025 and the radical, fundamental, foundational changes that would make to America and what it would mean for you and your family, that is to the political good. My third thought on it is, I do think there is value in showing people that Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans are not going to take over this country without a fight. Not an actual fight. I mean, with protest and debate and argument. And so there is value there, but I'm not, the way that next week shakes out is not going to be determined from a political standpoint by how loud the protest is, by how close it gets to the convention center, or how many people are there. That's not what's going to determine who wins the week. What we hear from Donald Trump, how dark is the vision of America that he paints in his convention speech, that is going to define the convention. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be awfully dark. I'm old enough to remember his inauguration speech, which after
American
he heard
carnage.
It,
right.
Former President W. Bush walks off the stage and goes, that was some weird word stuff I can't say on radio, you know? So I don't think it's going to be a hopeful, forward looking vision for America.
Well, let's hope so. And when you do talk about protesters, well, you have to in Wisconsin, you have to talk about Act 10, where, again, something all American in terms of the protesters that turned out, it didn't work out in the short term, but people let their voices be heard. And then they did in just enough elections to change the composition of the state Supreme Court, so that now we have a Dane County judge looking at Act 10, which is, you know, what sparked all those protests years ago, and saying, this thing is on some shaky legal ground, more to come. What did you think of the Act 10 ruling by that Dane County judge, and where do you think we go from here?
The first thing I thought of was one of my old boss's sayings. President Barack Obama would say that the moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice. Obviously, in the early days of 2010, no one foresaw that it would take 14 years to get to a place where we were within striking distance of undoing this law. So I thought about that. And I think about the pretty straightforward argument the judge is making and that the litigants made in this case, which is we have equal protection under laws in this country. And you cannot treat one class of public employee one way and another class of public employees another way. And that is clearly what Act 10 did. It literally picked winners and losers. We always hear Republicans complaining about government picking winners and losers. They did that to a fare thee well with Act 10. And so it sure seems to me like it's on pretty sound legal ground. And 14 years down the road, it's not like we have addressed the problems and the challenges facing our schools. It's not like sticking it to teachers means that every student in Wisconsin is now college ready or career ready when they get their diploma from high school. And so it hasn't addressed some of the challenges that we face we were told it was going to. I think if something doesn't work, let's try something else. And if this is an opportunity to throw that out and try something else, I'm here for it.
That change in the Supreme Court gave us a ruling that says drop boxes are back. Again, not a surprise, something easily predicted after the Janet Protasiewicz election.
Yeah, I mean, this was never as controversial as it was made out to be. We're under 4 months to go here, and I'm starting to worry about the dirty tricks that Republicans are going to play. I saw some reporting from Patrick Marley, formerly of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, now with the Washington Post, on the Democracy beat, that Trump allies are already starting to file lawsuits to get ahead of how they can muck things up in terms of election administration this fall. That's deeply concerning to me. What's not concerning to me is how drop boxes are going to be implemented. The people at the local level who administer our elections are your neighbors, your friends. You go to church with them. You go watch Little League with them. You coach with them. It's going to be fine. They're going to set these up in a way that is safe and secure and make sure that more people have the opportunity to vote. And I think that's a good thing. My question for Republicans is what it has always been. Why do you think it is better necessarily for Democrats and worse for you if more people vote? Doesn't that question answer itself in saying you don't think your ideas are good enough to win if everybody participates? What are we doing?
Well, and that's what leads to my next point, and that is the constitutional amendments that will be on the ballot for August 13th. And again, if you can't get things done in a regular way, if your whole business plan is obstruction, then you don't look for ways to get laws passed. You look for ways to amend the Constitution, and Republicans want to do that in a way that would undermine how federal funding could be distributed. The question is whether that message gets out to enough voters who would actually show up for an August election with constitutional amendments on the ballot.
Well, we've got some places in the state where there's some interesting things on the ballot, but everybody should know it is worth going out and voting no. And this is such a great illustration of the difference between the two parties. When Republicans try to change the rules of the game, like in the lame duck after they lost the governor's election in 2018, this time with how, you know, state spending is done, they are doing it. They're trying to change the rules of the game to give themselves more power. Going back to the last question about drop boxes, is it true that there were changes to the ways that elections were administered in 2020? Yes, there were. They were consistent with the law. They were done in open and transparent ways. And those changes, spearheaded by Democrats, weren't about getting more power for Democrats. They were about meeting people where they are in the throes of a global pandemic and making it easier for people to exercise that most sacred right and privilege that we have in a democracy, which is to cast a ballot, to get a choice. And there's the difference, folks. Democrats want you to have a say, and Republicans want more power for themselves. If that's not as clear cut as I can make, you can't quite get that on a bumper sticker, but you know, maybe on a double wide trailer, you could.
Mm-hmm. Other headlines that we've covered lately, new audio surfacing of Eric Hovde, candidate for U.S. Senate. saying that young workers on their parents' insurance need to grow up. And he talked about getting, you know, individualized health plans that young workers would get and keep for their entire lives, whatever work that they go to. You work with Protect Our Care. You know all about the Affordable Care Act and the reason why it includes a provision for young adult workers to be on their parents' plans till the age of 26. So what do you make of what Eric Hovde has to say about young workers?
Doesn't surprise me. This guy wants to do away with the Affordable Care Act. He was against it when he ran last time. He's against it this time. I'm still waiting for him to say how he thinks we can expand access to care and lower costs for Americans. But whether it's, you know, you should be able to discriminate in healthcare and charge different people with different body types more or less based on what they look like and what shape they are, whether it's calling, you know, young people lazy or suggesting it was stupid to allow young people to have that little bit of freedom to start their careers with maybe a few extra bucks left over at the end of the month to put away towards a down payment for a house instead of paying, you know, for a junk plan in the health insurance market. I'm not hearing anything from Eric Hovde still that suggests he is anything other than a stock Republican. This guy is no different than all of the rest of them. He's out of touch. He's incredibly wealthy in a way that has made him out of touch with the concerns facing real people. And he's not making a case that he's a different kind of Republican. When that's what we face, and we know that Tammy Baldwin is a different kind of Democrat who's been tough on China, who has delivered for workers with Make It in America legislation signed into law by both Donald Trump and Joe Biden, different provisions of it. That is something that people see and they respect and they admire and they agree with. And it's why she's kicking his butt in the polls and why I don't see how he can possibly shake this thing up, because there's nothing unique or different about him.
Joe Specky, thank you so much. We will talk next week about how the convention's going. Take care down there.
Talk to you then.
We got today's history lesson coming up in just a bit. You're up north. That's the 1973 country hit, You Lay So Easy On My Mind, by singer Bobby G. Rice, born in Boscobel, Wisconsin. He turns 79 years old today. Before we get to the rest of today's history lesson, a final call. Any early risers who would like up to 6 tickets for Saturday's game against the Washington Nationals at American Family Field? We've got those available to the first caller at 855-75-CIVIC, who can use the tickets up to 6. If you can't use them all, let us know. We'll give the rest away. But we have these great club seats available and would love to hand them out to you if you want to call 855-75-CIVIC for the 3:10 Saturday game against the Washington Nationals. All right, getting back to today's history lesson, the United States Marine Corps was reestablished, having been disbanded, 15 years earlier after the Revolutionary War. So happy re-birthday to the U.S. Marine Corps from this day in 1798. On this day in 1804, there was a duel in New Jersey, in which the sitting Vice President of the United States, Aaron Burr, mortally wounds former Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton. Because as we've learned from the musical, everything is legal in New Jersey. Have you seen Hamilton?
I have. I saw it in Chicago. Bridget,
yeah, same here. Yeah.
Bridget gave me a ticket as an anniversary present. Mm-hmm. And it was a very generous ticket, because this was like just, I think the first year was in Chicago, and she's like, happy anniversary. I'm like, I said, thank you so much. I can't wait. She goes, you're going by yourself. but it was phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, I was like, I think I was crying within the first 15 seconds because the opening intro, I'm just like, this is so beautiful. I love democracy. I love history.
And you get all these new Aaron Burr references, like, you know, pardon me, are you Aaron Burr, yeah. sir? As Tony just reminded us by comment on YouTube. Whereas some of us are still old enough to remember the milk commercial, where the answer to a trivia question was Aaron Burr, but the guy's had no milk. His mouth was full of cookies, and he calls into the radio station. Sorry, we don't know. So Aaron Burr has received a kind of a rebirth because of Hamilton. Let's see. We played a little bit before, but here's some more Nitty Gritty Dirt Band as Jeff Hanna, the lead singer, turns 77 today.
I knew a man, Bojangles, and he danced for you in worn-out shoes.
And by the way, if you are calling in about the Brewers tickets, just stay on hold there because I've got Greg busy pushing buttons right now. Rapper Lil' Kim is 49 today. Babe Ruth made his debut in Major League Baseball on this day in 1914, 110 years ago. Suzanne Vega turns 65 today. Hear a little more of her from her other hit, Luca, coming up later. Bonnie Pointer, the late Bonnie Pointer, she was in the Pointer Sisters briefly, but then left the group to pursue a solo career. Was born this day in 1950, passed away in 2020. The number one song this day in 2009 was by the Black Eyed Peas.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night.
2009 was a good year for the Black Eyed Peas. They knocked themselves out of the number one spot on the chart. Boom Boom Pow had spent 12 weeks at number one before I Got a Feeling came along. On this day in 1969, David Bowie's Space Oddity single is rush released to beat the moon landing, which happened 9 days later. In other outer space news, Skylab crashed to Earth on this day in 1979 after 6 years in space. And the number one song this day in 1970 was by Three Dog Night.
Don't turn on the lights because I don't want to see. Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come.
And it was on this day in 1951 on radio station WJW in Cleveland that Alan Freed broadcast his first Moondog House Rock and Roll Party, marking the first radio show with the phrase rock and roll and giving Alan Freed a claim on the origin of the term. Freed played plenty of R&B music, which introduced the sound to a new audience as well. This is National State Fair Food Day, and I can attest to that, having tried a few new things yesterday at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, including some cheese curd tacos. This is National Blueberry Muffin Day. This is National Mojito Day. This is National Swimming Pool Day. And on the calendar, this is 7-Eleven, July 11th. And the convenience store chain has always marked 7-Eleven Day with free Slurpees.
Oh.
And so you can get the little frozen drink today. 7-Eleven turns 97 years old today.
Oh, my goodness.
And as part of that, they also ask if people would like to round up or make a donation to benefit the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals.
That's lovely.
It is lovely. You know what else is lovely?
What
it's
else?
The 11th day of July, which what? Means that for the 11th day so far, we want to remind you that this is Lasagna Awareness Month. Craig, are you aware of lasagnas?
Yes, I'm aware of lasagnas. Big, small, heavy, light, vegetarian meat.
So many ways to be aware of lasagna.
I bring the gift lasagna to the people of Civic Media, for you are now aware
of lasagna. On the Up North News Daily newsletter, we have a Wisconsin woman's first-person account of how the repeal of Roe v. Wade has changed her outlook on politics and a certain group of politicians. Also, a link to a list of some of the best steak and seafood restaurants in the Chippewa Valley. And we will also discuss later a new article about how a Trump-appointed judge is blocking the Biden administration's efforts to rein in non-compete clauses. In the second hour, we will have our Women Win Wisconsin segment with State Representative Francesca Hong joining us for a discussion on the issues. Somebody who I like to describe as fearless, as opposed to feckless, which would be the folks in the press these days, to whom I just want to close by asking, did the Supreme Court get less corrupt since last month? Is Project 2025 less damning to the future? Is the economy less of a world leader? Did Mike Pence and 40 other cabinet members suddenly change their minds and endorse Donald Trump? If not, perhaps we need to expand the coverage a bit of a very important presidential election. All that and more coming up after news on Up North News Radio.